Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Block Talk Radio on our day of taxes, as I would say, April the 15th. Anyway, this is Suzanne Northrup, and I'm a little rocked here. I just heard about this explosion in Boston, and maybe this show is kind of appropriate for this. I'm actually going to be there this weekend for doing an event for a fundraiser that I'm doing. So I'm just going to send out a lot of, you know, thoughts and prayers, because I think that certainly that neck of the woods is going to sort of like need it. From my understanding, this is had to do with the, was connected with the people that were with the marathon, which I was actually listening to on NPR this afternoon. And it's a huge marathon, and they had talked about some of the men and the women that had actually had made some unbelievable records in relationship to it. So I somehow must have turned that off at that point, because it happened somewhere at the finish line, and I don't know much more. You guys may know more out there than me at this time. So I'm just going to send a lot of my thoughts and my prayers out there, and I'm hoping you do as well. So anyway, before I bring my guest on, the number, of course, to call is 347-945-7785, 347-945-7785. I will say, however, we're finally having some spring here in the Northeast. It's been pretty, pretty brutal, and I think everybody's been a little on edge about waiting to the daffodils and the crocuses and everything else to slowly start coming up, and everything's starting to be a little green. And I personally, as always, want to thank my Connecticut folks for having a very, very special event yesterday. Done ourselves, guys. As usual, it was a really special day. So I'm happy to go into. We talked a little bit about, you know, taxes and actually taxes and death. Those two things in life that are unavoidable. Although we know that it is only a physical thing, and even we know when we have the physical death, that there's taxes, of course, left for the living, because we all know that. That's ultimately what my work is about. Anyway, is the living, not those that have made their transition. So without that, I think actually in light of, and I'm going to say in light of, the circumstances right now that are, you know, probably for certainly many people I know not far from where I am, in a bit of shock and all, and I think that, like I said, I think my guest is going to be perfect for talking pretty much about this. I'm going to welcome her. I've had her on the show before, and I'm going to welcome her again. And like I said, I think that this is quite perfect for her. My guest is Dr. Barbara Stones. She's the author of Invisible Roots: How Healing Past Life Traumas Can Liberate Your Presence. She's the winner of the Book News USA Award 2008 for the category of Gender and Health, and her new book is Transforming Fear into Gold, and how facing what frightens you the most can heal and light up your heart. So Turning This Fear into Gold has been launched, and you could, by the way, just so that you know this, she's an energy medicine university certification consultant for the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, which is ACEP, which I spoke at in Canada a couple of years ago, and they do some quite wonderful work, and they're a really, really interesting group. You can go to her website, which is www.souldetective.net, souldetective.net. So welcome to the show, Barbara Stone.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm so delighted to be here again.
Yes, this is what an odd time to have you on a show with a literally some elements of major fear going on here. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty intense. So anyway, you didn't even know about this, and I didn't even know about this until 5 minutes before the show. So I think that a lot, obviously, you know, your book really talks, you know, it really does address this whole element of obviously turning fear into gold, and where much fear, and you actually reference it an awful lot to what I would call, you know, dark forces, and that you talk about how they invade our energy fields and what is how they make their attachments. And I know we talked a little bit about this the last time you were on the show in relationship to your other book, The Invisible Roots, Healing, How Past Lives Can Heal Trauma, Liberate You from the Present. And I think that this is probably on the same vein, but probably taking it to the next step. Is that correct in saying that?
That's exactly right, Suzanne. There seem to be some things that come at us from the outside, and probably the best way to understand it is like a virus. A virus just wants food and wants to grow and live, and it will attack anyone whose immune system is down. It doesn't ask permission, like, may I take up residence in your nasal cavities? Anytime there's a lower immune system, it pounces. And the dark forces seem to be the same. When someone's been wounded or emotionally invaded, it makes a break in the energy body. And whenever they can get in, they go into that wound and make it worse because they like pain and suffering. Pain and suffering steals energy from the person and gives it to them.
So if somebody was to ask you for obviously a clarification, like, you know, what do you mean specifically by, I mean, I understand that the aspect obviously quite literally of what we call energy, because energy is everything. And we also know that, you know, there's always going to be balances of energy, meaning that there's going to be energies that are going to be, you know, higher and lower, and that just has to do with vibration, you know, quite literally. So, but you're prefacing it as, I guess you're saying it's also an energy, but you're sort of relating it to what we might call a virus in terms of how it may or may not infect us.
That's how they act. And it's interesting that in Oriental medicine, they call a virus an evil spirit because it just, you know, invades when it can, causes havoc, and if not stopped, could eventually cause death.
That's interesting. I never knew that. So when they talk about it, this is, has to do with what particular types of Oriental medicines that you're talking about? Are we talking about in relationship to affecting the chi, or, and for people who don't know what chi is out there, chi is literally energy. So that's why I'm asking.
Yes, the whole Oriental medicine that uses acupuncture for moving the system to health is a way of studying health, and they try to keep a person healthy because they know that when your chi falls or your life energy goes down, then you're vulnerable to attack from germs and bacteria and viruses. So I think we probably all know that before we get sick, usually we feel tired right before then.
Yes,
that's because
yes.
our chi or our life vitality has gone down.
And so, you obviously preface it a whole lot of different ways. So in your viewpoint, because again, we're all talking about energy here, and we all know that there's always going to be a balance of energy. We know that there's, you know, we do know that there are good issue two people in the world, and we know that there are people that certainly do not function on that level. So that's what you're talking about when you're talking about either mindset or belief systems of dark forces, because you do definitely make reference to it as being dark forces.
Yes, I do. I drew a lot of my knowledge from a book by Shakuntala Modi. She's a psychiatrist who learned how to do hypnosis. And when she had a patient hypnotized, sometimes a dark force would come out. And this seems to be an autonomous spirit that has an agenda of hurting the person in some way. So she would interview them and ask them what their job was. And she also studied with William Baldwin, who was the father of hypnosis. And Baldwin found an ingenious way of working with these things that come in from the outside. It's not exercising them or casting them out, but it's rather reforming them. So sometimes when Baldwin would have a woman patient hypnotized, she would say in a deep, low voice, a voice would say, "Leave her alone, she's mine." And he would recognize that was an entity that had invaded her field. So he would just say, "Oh, hello, you know, what's your job with my patient?" And the dark force would say something like, "Well, I'm trying to make her miserable in every possible way I can." And then he would say, "Who do you work for, the darkness or the light?" And they would usually say the darkness. And then he'd ask, "What is your belief system about the light?" And then, Suzanne, you get all the cognitive distortions of the dark side. They have been lied to. They've been told that the light would destroy them, make them blind or make them cease to exist or burn them up, that the light's their enemy or they don't belong in the light, they can't have any. So then Baldwin would say, "Look into your very center and notice what's there." And when they looked inside, instead of just looking outside, being all extroverted, seeing what bad things they can do, when they looked inside, every single one of them would find a spark of light, because everything in the whole universe has a spark of the Creator's light in it.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
So it's so beautiful. I think he's such a genius. So when they found the spark of light, then he would innocently say, "Well, have you been burned up? Have you ceased to exist? Did it kill you?" And they will say something like, "Well, no, it actually feels good. It's warm and I like it." And then Baldwin would say, "How do you feel about working for a liar?" Well, when they realize they have been deceived and lied to, they get angry, as would anybody. So when they're in that huffy fit about being angry because they've been deceived, he says, "How would you like to quit that job and come work for Archangel Michael?" And as I do this work with people, we always start by setting sacred space, which I asked to have around you and me and all of our listeners today. I asked for a pyramid of light to surround us, a pyramid of the golden light of the Creator's love for us, and then just called in Archangel Michael. And when they see the job opportunities working for the light that is the core of their very essence, they convert.
That's interesting, yeah. So obviously being, you know, a psychiatrist, a PhD, and I'm sure that you probably have encountered this, certainly, if for no other reason, within your profession, would they, professionally, would your colleagues say that this is a form of schizophrenia, this is a form of some mental disorder, rather than you're saying it in terms of, obviously you're working on an energy level, and I understand this, but I've wondered what you've encountered with your peers in talking about this.
That's a very
good question,
Suzanne.
Right?
Now, I'm a psychotherapist rather than a psychiatrist, but I do have a colleague, Robert Alcorn, who is a psychiatrist. He's also a shaman, and he's written a book called Healing Stories, in which he shows how many different forms of mental disorders really have entity attachments behind them. So I'll just give an example. There was one time a teenage girl came to me who was feeling a lot of disturbance and hearing voices. If she had gone to a psychiatric hospital, they would have diagnosed
given her drugs.
Probably as schizophrenic and gave
right.
her some drugs.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
as we talked to the voices, one of them was a friend of hers who died in a skateboard accident, and he didn't know how to get to the light, so he just hung out with her. And another was the deceased owner of the apartment where she lived, who got stuck between the worlds and couldn't get to heaven and had attached to my client. Once we helped both of those people heal and get to the light, then she was free and she grew up and didn't have to go to the mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another thing that in some belief systems, they do not differentiate between an earthbound spirit, who is a person who got stuck and attaches to someone, and a dark force entity. But in my work, I do make a difference there. In the Catholic Church, I believe that they just call them all bad because both of them hurt the person that they're attached to, and they just try to kick everybody out. But the point of view I take is, let's help...
You're talking about when they do exorcisms? Is that what you mean?
Right.
You know, you make reference to that? Yes, okay.
Exactly. Exorcisms don't differentiate between whether it's an earthbound spirit, a human, or if it's a dark force entity. And, you know, it's a good question where these dark forces come from. If I absolutely knew, I would be so happy. But as we talk to them and interview them, like Dr. Modi interviewed them and asked, how did you become dark? And many of them said a story that's very similar to what's in the Bible in the book of Revelation, where it says that Lucifer was the brightest of all the heavenly host of angels that God created. And then he wanted to actually be the one in control, didn't want to be just the brightest of all of the ones on his rank, and that he made a war in heaven, and he fought with Archangel Michael and was cast out of heaven because he was not willing to be subservient to the Creator. He wanted to be the boss himself. And it says a third of the heavenly host went with him. What is so beautiful in my work is when we find a dark force entity and call in Archangel Michael to offer it a better job, sometimes it's like the dark force recognizes Michael, and Michael greets him and says something like, "Welcome back, brother. Welcome back." There's such a joy in heaven when these entities come back to the light, when they remember their light.
So you use mostly Archangel Michael, and of course we know that there's a lot of people who work with angels, and angels are very significant in their work. And so it sounds like that's obviously one of the significant prayers or beings that you work with or work directly with when you're doing this work with people.
Exactly. It feels as if Michael has the energy of warrior. He has strength and power, and he's generally the one that we go to for protection. And I would never, ever do this work with the dark forces without being surrounded by the protection of these beings of light. I just wouldn't ever think of it. Now, there are other angels that we need also. Archangel Raphael is generally considered the angel of healing. And what I've found, Suzanne, is that when someone has a dark force entity and we get it to convert, we have to go back and heal the wound in that person that allowed them to get infected in the first place, or else two dark entities will come and take the place of the one that left.
Okay.
But when there's deep healing of that original wound, then there's no access for the darkness to get in.
Okay. So I want you to hold that thought.
Okay.
And we're going to go to a quick break. And this is Suzanne Northup of Block Talk Radio with my special guest, Dr. Barbara Stone. The number, of course, to call in is 347-945-7785. We'll take a quick break, and I want you to keep that thought, because I really want my listeners to know exactly what what not only what we're talking about, but how this does happen or how this can occur to people and how they may know or the difference between just maybe something that they're going through in their life or that indeed there's actually something that has taken place with them. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back in a minute.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Okay, so let's first talk about how, and I think you mentioned a little bit of this before, but how do these forces invade people's energy field, and how do they know that they're either not just having a bad day? Because people do have bad days. People have moments in their life when they're going through emotional things that they feel overwhelmed and going through all these intense emotions. How would one know for sure that this had actually invaded the field, or does this give me some sort of sense on that?
Yes. I think probably we all know someone that loves us, that we love, or that we know is a good person, but then they go through a hard time or they get sick or they get in an accident, and after that they're never the same, and they have periods where they just explode. And they say really mean and nasty things. We would diagnose it intermittent explosive disorder in the mental health system.
Mm-hmm.
But what it could be is that a dark force gets in there, and it makes the person who's hurt think others are opposing them, that others are trying to hurt them. So they fight back to, strike before they're killed.
Huh.
There's a viciousness and a maliciousness to someone when a dark force is possessing them. Also, what you'll see is the face changes, the eyes change. There's like a glint in the eye, and it may sometimes the eyes look sort of red, and it looks like there's a different person there.
Uh-huh.
We call that demon possession. It can come every now and then, someone that is, or used to be at least a normal person and gets hurt. Another way they get in, and this just breaks my heart, is that when children are sexually abused, they have no defense, especially if their abuser is a family member,
right,
someone they rely on for their livelihood, then they get so victimized that the dark forces will come in and say, let's take back your power, let's get mad, because it feels better to be angry than to be a helpless victim.
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment, the child may be able to get angry, and when they grow up and get enough strength, may be able to stop the abuse through their anger and fighting back. But then that abused person goes through their whole life thinking everyone's trying to abuse them.
Abuse them, of course.
Dark forces don't leave once they come.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I've often talked to students and mine over the years about you know, the effects of, and they used to laugh at me until they actually had a bad experience, the effects of using a Ouija board, because that's essentially what you're doing when you do a Ouija board. You're allowing any entity to come in.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of like welcoming them and say, like, you know, come for dinner, you know.
and
then they don't
know.
Go away and they don't understand what happened. So it really is an invite. And it's obviously it's a little different than what you're talking about, but essentially it very much can happen in the same way, because you're kind of allowing, you know, you're saying, like, you know, I'm inviting you in, and when you invite people in your house, you of course you always take the chance that they won't leave.
Yes, right. That's a good analogy.
Yeah,
a couple
yeah.
other ways that you can get a dark force entity, if you want to know how to get one, is that sometimes in battle, when a soldier is going into something that looks like it's going to be fatal, they can call on supernatural dark forces for protection. And the dark force will protect them, and they'll live through the battle. But then the dark force chains their soul. Then they sort of belong to the dark force. They have a contract, and when they die, they can't go into the world of light. They're bound to the world of darkness. Another way to get a dark force is a black magician can consciously summon a demon to do some dirty work that they want done. And the demon will do it, but then, of course, the black magician will be bound and chained to that dark force.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I also know, and you know this as well, that, and it's very important for everybody else to know out there, is that this can't happen unless you allow it. You have to somehow be a participant for that energy to come in.
Right, if you call it, if you consciously call it.
Right, right. Right, and because nothing can enter the vibration without your permission. So somewhere along the line, we've done something to allow that interchange to take place, which I think it's very important for people to get clarity on that, because I don't want people, you know, to go around thinking that, you know, that this is going to, like, happen to them. That there has to be, as you say, there has to be some kind of a soul exchange or something like that that we've, you know, or a state that we've gone into to allow this stuff to sort of, like, come into our beingness.
Precisely. That's such a good point, Suzanne. Joe Dispenza talks about rehearsing emotions and how when we rehearse an emotion, we magnify that emotion in our system. All of us have been hurt sometime or other. If you rehearse the wound and keep thinking, boy, was that rotten, and I'm so angry with that person, and they should pay for what they did, and you keep thinking revenge
mm-hmm.
thoughts,
mm-hmm.
then you open up yourself to this dark side that says, yeah, let's go get them. But
right.
if you say, only God knows what they were going through when they treated me that way, and only God knows what was done to them,
right.
and so I'm going to forgive everyone for everything, no matter what it is. Even if they kill me, I'm going to forgive everyone for everything, and then you cannot be invaded by the darkness, because you're standing in the light of love and forgiveness.
As the words of Jesus, as they would say.
Yes, I mean, look what happened. Yeah, look what happened to Jesus. They falsely accused him, shamed him, ridiculed him, and killed him in a most excruciating, horrible death. And he didn't say, boy, my dad's going to get all of you. He just said, Father, forgive them.
Give them, they know not what they do, right.
Exactly. Yes. And I think people really don't know what they're doing when they're under the influence of these dark forces.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. So, so who do you think, or you know, who would be the people that obviously would that the forces are? They're going to go after obviously people. From what I'm going to assume here, that either have positions of power, or you know that they can utilize them to do, you know, like intense type things, whatever. There's got to be power somewhere.
Yes, that's very perceptive. William Baldwin says they go after everyone in the government, positions of power in the government. They go after the leaders of education. They go after the military, the police force, and what they really hate is love.
Uh-huh.
They try to attack love in any form. If you have a couple that love each other, they'll try to put a wedge between them and sort of whisper in the ear, he was making eyes at that other woman, or, you know, whisper some kind of lie into the man's ear that so he can't trust his woman. They just try to attack, and it takes a lot of communication with your partner to check things out and keep seeing, is this true, this thought that came, is that true or is it not true? Now, there's one other way you can get a dark force energy, and that's by having sexual intercourse with someone who has one. There's an opening of the energy field at the moment of orgasm. And
well,
it's
well,
like
yes, yes. Yeah,
the dark force can get you. So be careful who you connect with.
Mm-hmm. Quite literally.
Yes. Yes.
Quite literally with that one, yes. So, so let me just sort of ask you then. So I have to assume, without sort of assuming, that people that obviously they go on these intense rampages of you know, we know that has been happening a bit too much lately. Clearly, we look at these people, and we know they're crazy. I mean, we know they're crazy. We know that they could very well be possessed, and it sounds like they could clearly be a candidate for when people, you know, do talk to what other people don't see, and I'm assuming there's some form, quite literally, of what you were saying, possession, takes place with these people.
Yes. No one in their right mind would go into that school like Adam did and shoot
mm-hmm.
everybody. And no one in their right mind would blow up the marathon. These
yes.
people are possessed by dark forces that invade. And John of God, a healer from Brazil that
Brazil.
I went
mm-hmm.
to see, that
mm-hmm.
comes to Omega Institute every fall.
Right.
He says that at first a dark force can only penetrate the outer edge of your energy field, but over time it worms its way in further and further until it actually takes over the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how people can deal with this is when they hear a bad force in their head, like if they hear a force saying, they hear a voice saying, kill yourself or kill your parents or kill everybody at the post office or whatever. If they listen to the voice, it gives it more power. But if they say to that voice, no way, I'm not doing that. I do not want to do that. This is not me. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
When they hold their own power and don't give in to revenge fantasies, then it weakens the dark force.
Right, right. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. It's based in power. And
yes.
it's, you know, and that's how people become, you know, become powerful to other people, and you know, and they do it by intimidation. They do, and it basically the bottom line is it, and I'm not telling you what you don't know. It's always based in some form of fear. I mean, it's the fear that gives it the power.
Exactly. That seems to be, Suzanne, the only tool the dark side has is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Pure fear.
Pure fear. Right. Right.
And that's based on a number of lower consciousness ideas, like they don't have power of their own. The dark forces have to steal power. And that's the Dracula thing, that Dracula can't exist without sucking someone else's blood.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's how the dark forces are. They have to steal the energy by making someone hurt or angry. And when we get angry, boy, do we give our power away. It just streams out in a flow of anger, and the dark forces suck it up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When we face our fear, and one of the things that I learned when I started to work with clients who had dark entity attachments was a beautiful system of healing called thought field therapy, which involves just simply tapping on some acupressure points on the body. And I found the sequence to tap to release fear. And I'm just going to tell everyone here what that is. You tap under the eye, which is a point that goes to the stomach. It's on the meridian line of energy that goes to the stomach.
So is this under your center? This is under the bottom of your eye?
Yes. There's a bone under the eye, the occipital bone, and there's a little notch in it, like just under the pupil if you're looking straight ahead. There's right where that notch is. That's the main point to tap for fear. Because you know what your stomach does when you get afraid? It just all turns up.
Sure,
and it,
sure.
Yeah. So that unlocks that stomach meridian. And then the second place to tap is on the
it
side.
It doesn't matter which eye you use it on, under?
Do them both.
Do them both.
Do them both at once.
Same time.
Sure. Do them both at the same time, or you can go right, left, right, left, right, left, whatever mm-hmm. feels better.
Yes. So for everybody out there that, you know, tapping is a very, very, very powerful healing mechanism, which I can personally attest to, but I can tell you that just quickly that a year or so ago I had a fireman on my show who was obviously there in New York City for 9/11. And right after this happened to him, he had a tremendous difficulty coming into New York. It was just like he would get to the bridge and he had to turn around and come back. It was just very, very intense for him. So anyway, he did, it's EMDR or EDMR, it's one of those, right?
EMDR is one of them, yeah.
Right, yes. And so he started doing EMDR, which is, of course, is this form of tapping that Dr. Barbara Stone is talking about. And he was able to finally, after, you know, a period of time, finally come back into New York. So
yes.
it does work.
Yes.
It does work.
And
yes.
That eye movement desensitization and reprocessing that he did, that's a powerful form of therapy. It involves moving the eyes side to side and brings up things. The cousin to EMDR is thought field therapy or TFT, or probably more people know about EFT, emotional freedom technique.
Yes, people know about EFT. Yeah, that I'm sure. I'm, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I just was doing a radio show, and the guy was telling me that he has been using EFT because he has really bad allergies. And he said, like, I'm, like, tired of, like, taking all the medications and all that other stuff. And so he said, you know, I started doing the EFT, and it's, like, really made a difference.
Yes, it's amazing that when we know the code that these disturbances are programmed in, we got to think about computers. You know, you have to have the code to get into something.
Right, right.
People have discovered the codes for the emotions. And we can go in there and reverse the emotions. And when you get to that fear, and actually I'll tell you the three magic points for fear are under the eye, on the side of the body where the bra strap would cross if someone were wearing a bra strap, and then just under the collarbone.
Is that over the shoulder? Or
no, on the side of the body, about 5 or 6 inches below the armpit.
Okay, below the arm, on the right side of the breast.
On both sides.
On both sides.
Both sides of the body, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like you give yourself a big hug and tap on the side of your body in that general area.
Mm-hmm.
That helps to calm anxiety about the future and fear.
Okay.
And then the last point is just under the collarbone, right where it meets the sternum. That's kind of like the place Tarzan banged on when he would thump on his chest before he would swing through the trees, the Tarzan point.
Right, yes. Yeah, that one's actually above the breast. That sternum point is there, yes.
Yes, that's
so
above the clavicle.
So there's one on the side and there's one on the top.
Say that again, please.
So it sounds to me, the way you're describing it, there's one that's on the side and then there's one that's on the top of that whole front chest area.
Yes, and the chest, just under the collarbone. If you go to the hollow of the throat, go down a couple inches and out a couple inches, there's a little dent there, and that's the place where the kidney meridian ends. So when we tap on that, it sends power to the kidneys, which help to ground us into the energy of the earth and make us feel solid and secure.
Now, are these talked about in your book, Barbara?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So just everybody out there, the book is called Transforming Fear into Gold, and how facing what frightens you can most heal and light up your life. So, you know, obviously anybody who's interested out there, you know, this is Dr. Stone's book. And by the way, if you want to contact her, you can email her at contact@souldetective.net. That's souldetective.net. And it's souldetective, net. But you can also go to her webpage, which is also, you know, your webpage is souldetective.net, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yes, and you can sort of, like, check that out. So, well, you know what, I'm going to take another quick break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to ask another quick question here before we sort of finish up. But I want you to think about, so just really quick here. So if anybody's feeling any of these things we've discussed, they can obviously use these you know, the TFT method or the EFT method, and that's kind of what your method is in terms of the tapping that can sort of, like, help people if they feel some of this is going on to them or they feel that this has happened to them. Yes?
Yes, and what I would recommend, if anyone feels like they're being attacked by something that comes from the outside, that's different from something that comes from the inside.
Okay.
Like we think we're undeserving or something.
Right.
That there's a prayer that I like to use.
Okay, and would you hold that prayer?
We're going to go to another. Hold that till after the break.
Because that's a wonderful way to finish out, Barbara. So hold on a second.
Okay.
This is Suzanne North here with my special guest, Dr. Barbara Stone. And Transforming Fear into Gold is her book. And we'll come back in a moment, and we'll get this wonderful prayer that she's going to talk about.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Okay, so just quick before you give us that prayer, again, everybody else's number to call is 347-945-7785. Yes, I will be giving messages. If you're already on hold, I would suggest to stay there. You probably got a good shot at getting through. And again, the number is 347-945-7785. So talk about the prayer.
Yes, there are laws in the spirit world, and the rule is that God has given every creature free will.
Mm-hmm.
So the angels, the beings of light, are not allowed to intervene unless we ask. But sometimes we don't know what to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know if what's attached is a dark force or an earthbound spirit or an angry fairy or something.
Right.
So when someone feels really upset and attacked, they can say, Archangel Michael, please do whatever is necessary. That's the clause, whatever is necessary. That gives him free rein.
Right.
please do whatever is necessary to free me from this attack that comes from the outside so I can have my autonomy back. And please help that thing that's attacking me to be free from the higher level handlers on the dark side so it can have its autonomy again.
Mm-hmm. So basically you want our angel Michael to do whatever is necessary.
Yes.
To
set me free.
Yes.
And to set it free. That would be the short version.
Right.
You know, this work is not for someone who just is curious about the dark side and wants to see
right.
all the gory stuff. It's for therapists who have clients who've been caught in the underworld of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul detective protocols that I develop help therapists resolve the spiritual aspects of mental illness so their clients can get their autonomy back and get on with their soul's missions.
Yeah,
I do training. I train therapists in how to learn these protocols so that they can deal with that.
Very, very important work. Very,
yes.
very important work. Yes.
It's a yes. specialty.
It is a specialty, yeah. And it's interesting because when I asked you this earlier, and I wasn't kidding, and I'm sure you've been asked this before, is that, you know, I am sure that you have certainly met with some, you know, conflict, if that's the proper word, within those within your profession, and I said, okay, you know, Barbara, you're a little, you've gone a little over the edge, but
Suzanne, for the dark force entities, they don't see that as over the edge. They see it as kind of old-fashioned because in the time of Jesus, they talked about all mental illness as being demon possession. Where they think I'm over the edge is where I start talking about extraterrestrial implants. Then they say, now you've gone too far.
Yes. Now that they definitely at that point. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So,
but I have had very little resistance. Mostly what has happened with my colleagues is they say, wow, that explains a lot, and I'm so glad to have a way to help people get free.
That's wonderful. That's very, very wonderful. Yes, yes. So you know how to get a hold of Barbara now. You can, like I said, you can check her out. You can go to her webpage, which, again, is souldetective.net. That's one word, soul detective, all one word, .net. And she is a professor at Energy Medicine University and certified consultant for the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, which is in short term, which is ACEP. And I saw you when we were in Canada, didn't I, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Were you there when I was there? Yes.
Yes. Yes, I saw you too. You gave a wonderful evening reading session.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm going to see you again in Montreal.
Yes, I'll be there too.
We're both going to be there at the same time, so it will be nice to reconnect. So this has been great. It's very informative for everybody. And as we all know, a lot of this stuff has been going on for a long time. But I can attest to people feeling it's even more now than it has been for a long time. And I don't know if you've been encountering that in your work, Barbara, but I've certainly been encountering it in mine. So.
I think we're more aware of what's been going on, and especially with the Internet, word gets around about everything.
Boy, doesn't it.
Yes.
Boy, doesn't it. Yes, yes. Again, the show is, again, the book is Transforming Fear into Gold.
Yes. What if you took all your fear and just literally turned it into gold? How great would that be?
That would be great. Yeah, that would be definitely great. Thank you very much, Barbara, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Okay. And we're going to end with this last 2 minutes here. I've got some calls. I'm going to try to get through who I possibly can here and who's been waiting very, very patiently on the phone. And hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Yes, Suzanne.
Yes.
My name is Dottie, and you and I have crossed paths several years ago at the Warrington, Pennsylvania Wellness Center.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And you might remember this because you came all the way to the back of the auditorium and you said, there's this feisty little woman here, and she's just scolding you for not wearing purple.
Well, I've probably seen 40,000 people since then, Dottie.
Probably. But her daughter is in touch with you all the time, and her and I have been reunited, Tony and I, and I wondered if you had any messages for me.
Okay. Well, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. So was this person related to you or just connected to you?
She was the psychic that I went to, and we knew each other over 40 years.
Ah, so no wonder she came in so strong.
And yes.
Yes.
Yes. And Tony, her daughter, of course, I knew her through the years, and Tony's two sons.
Right.
And I'd just been going through some illness and contacted Tony. Tony, and we talk every day.
Mm-hmm.
She has brightened my life because I feel like I have Marie back again.
Oh,
you know, she made me a gift of the crystal that Marie wore for 25 years.
Wow, wonderful. Well,
and I am now wearing it.
I was going to say, it feels like you've got it on.
I have it on.
Yes, you feel like you've got it on. I'm going to tell you this, Dottie. First of all, I don't even need to tell you, this person is still very much around you, very much involved in your life.
Nice.
And I think you recognize it.
Yes, I do.
I think you really recognize her presence. Yes.
Oh, it's good to have the verification of it.
Yes, you definitely recognize her presence. Now, I want to know, would she be talking about herself or would she be talking about you who lost two dogs?
Me?
Well, she's got
I did.
Well, she's got these two dogs with her.
Oh, my gosh. I bet she's thrilled to death with that.
Yeah, she is. So she wants you to know that they're obviously in good care and her care, under her provision, and she just wanted you to know that because obviously they are quite literally very important to you.
Yes.
So
yes,
we're all hanging out together. We're all in good states.
Okay.
So that's pretty special.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Now I will say one other last thing here, and I'm going to try to take one other quick caller before we go. Is I'm going to ask you this piece. Did you move since you saw her, or were you like literally somewhere else from where you are now?
No.
So you are in the same place?
I am in the same place.
Okay, because she's telling me there's a lot of honoring and a lot of memory where you are. That's why I'm asking.
You know, I'm into prayer every day and protection. She's given me many prayers and of protection to use, and I do that. I'm very involved, with the metaphysical world.
Okay.
And I'm very much, she used to say to me, I have one toe hanging on in the real world, and the rest of it was in the metaphysical.
Yeah.
But I miss her dearly, yes.
Well, she's around you. I don't have to tell you that, Dottie.
No. Thank you so much.
Are you
Thank
welcome,
you,
my dear? You take care now, all right?
I will. Goodbye.
All right, be well. Oh, that's sweet. Very sweet. Okay. So we may only have time for one more, so let's just give it a try. And by the way, if you're online, I've written your phone number down, and next time I have my show, you will get first on, which is I always do this. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Yes.
Hi, this is Tony. I'm Dottie's friend.
Oh.
I can't believe you picked me.
I can't believe I picked you either because there's a line right. I did a random here.
I know. My girlfriend and I have been listening to the show for months and months and months, and you always pick her and I or me, and how it depends on who goes first, and that's Peggy from North Carolina, but now we brought Dottie into the mix, and we're driving you crazy.
You are definitely driving me crazy.
I just have a quick question.
Okay.
It is very quick. Right now, my mind is very confused. I'm having a battle between my mind and my heart, and I would like my mother to help me with that, if she can.
Well, you know the drill. The drill is that, you know, they can't make your decision for you, my dear. Okay? All they can do is be there with you for it, but they can't make your decision. That's the drill. It's
okay.
Like they can love us and they can support us and whatever it is, but they walk their path and we have to walk ours now. But I will tell you this. I'm gathering from her very loud and very clear that she says you do know in your heart. She says you do know in your heart what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I think the only key element and significant element that it's in relationship to is what we call the big F word.
Oi.
It's having faith. And trust.
Oh, and she's screaming, right?
Well, she's talking right, quite literally in my ear. She says, you just got to keep the faith and you got to keep the trust.
That's right. Okay.
All right.
She says,
you know.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. So Thank you so much. You're very welcome. So it sounds like the two of you are in cahoots together, huh?
I know. We are. What can I say? All three of us are.
I was going to say this.
I've seen you with my son in Cromwell last year.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yes. Yes. Just him and I.
Uh-huh.
And it was really, really, things are still coming from that tape.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Amazing.
That's very wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Well,
Big family reunion.
And you know, and I'm so glad you said that because that's really what it's about, you know. And it's like when people say, like, you know, well, really, what is the work about? What am I about? What do I do? It's really about making that connection to the family. And some of that family are in the body, and some of them are not in the body. But there's that continuation of love that really is the most important thing to really all of us.
Exactly, and believe it or not, just having that sometimes just helps you to get through the next.
That's the next
whatever.
Exactly. No.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It is really, really all about that, and that's really true. That's really, really true. So.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
You're welcome, my dear. And you, please take care and keep in touch. And it sounds like you guys are are doing that.
We do.
That's good.
We do.
I love when I have listeners for the show that stay tuned in because I have, as you can see, I have some great guests on, you know, that are really knowledgeable
in
what they do. So it's all good. It's all
great.
Good. All right,
thank
my dear.
You.
You have a nice April 15th tax day and
wonderful.
Well, I figured it was
a
good
day
to have
too.
It was a good day to have a show.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Please take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Like I say, if you are on hold, your number will be coming up next time around the line. And I'll definitely make sure that you are, if not the first, or very close to the first callers. So with that, I have to give my prayers out to Boston. I'm going to be there this weekend, unless there's some reason I will not be there. I'm going to be there for the Liam Nation a dedicated event that I'm contributing to for. It's a wonderful fundraiser, and they do some phenomenal work for children, and so I'm there. But just for everybody else there, I'm going to be going to Philly and Boston and Baltimore and Philly and Denver and Chicago, all of that within the next month. So as always, my prayers are with you, my thoughts are with you, and as always, I hope that everything you want may be yours. Barb, are you still there?
person on the